I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
I'm going to leave that in. Hey, everybody. Sweet. Welcome to All the Small Games, a weekly indie game podcast hosted by two gentlemen who love the indie things in life. Jonathan Valenzuela.
Hi. And you are Andrew Levins.
Guess what, everyone? John took a week off because I said I was going to record a drunk episode. And I did.
Yeah. And it's people seem to have really enjoyed it.
It was very fun. One of those I do maybe like one or two a year where I'm actually like at one point I'm excited to listen back to it because I don't remember much of it.
Sure.
But if you haven't listened to last week's episode yet, I invented a drinking game in which Joel Dusha, host of Thumb Cramps and various other Sans Pants radio podcasts, the only person who was still at my birthday party last weekend at 11 p.m. Because we started early and because we're old. And because you know it's suburban, you know we can't sing Blink 182 songs as loudly as we can all night.
Sure,
you got to give
damn
the
cops
a little respite. But I invented a game where I made Joel go through my Switch library, which has just under 400 titles in there, and he had to guess, basically pick games that he could accuse me of not even opening even once. And,
right.
I would say there's at least 150. Games on that Switch that I haven't even opened before.
What was his strike rate? How well did he go?
I don't want to spoil it for you, John. I think you would really enjoy listening to that. And you're going to have lots of spare time soon.
Yeah.
With a new baby. Actually, no, I did this when I had babies. I was able to do like passive things like listening to podcasts, video games not so much, but when you're feeding a bottle feeding your baby, That's a good time to take in some media. So that's my gift to you, John. Listen
Thanks,
to me
man.
Drunk.
I drop the baby in disgust.
I also put up a little preview of our Bastion episode at the end of last week's episode. So if you haven't, if you want a little taste of that before you think about signing up to our Patreon, so you can get access to our hour-long Bastion special, head over to patreon.com/. All the small games to find out more, but yeah, there was a preview of that episode on that
nice.
Episode too.
And if it to pique your interest even more in our Patreon, I believe our game of the month for this month is The Stanley Parable.
That's right, a game which I played many years ago on my Mac, and I actually still have the same Mac, so I will be playing it on the same medium, same format, same everything.
Sweet.
Different.
Excellent.
Medium. Yeah.
Different ending.
Yo, there's several different endings. It's a first person like comedy puzzle game. It's very funny, but like actually funny, like very dry humor, almost like mechanical. Like the humor is based it's narrated much like a Bastion. Now Bastion's narration is a very unique kind of game mechanic. I feel like it is in the Stanley Parable as well, but this is more for the sake of humor than storytelling.
Definitely.
Yeah. Great game.
So,
looking forward to replaying it for the month.
Yeah,
but
very much
it's not about the games that we are playing this month. It's the games that we've played in the last week and also the games that we've found out about in the last week. because there was a very exciting Nintendo Indie World.
Yes.
A showcase that they air once every couple months. In fact, I think I've read that this is like the 19th Indie World presentation.
Far
which
out.
Is crazy.
Okay.
And like when you consider that, like, yeah, Nintendo did like one proper direct in just under 2 years, which and was, you know, everyone was underwhelmed by the Indie World showcases. I feel like there's always at least 1, 2, 3 games that I'm like, oh yeah, I'll definitely play that when it comes out. They're always fun. They always have like shadow drops and cool things like that. Games that are available. I love that. You know, it drops later today. I'm like, yes, you've done it again, Indie World presentation. So yeah, we watched it. I think it came out on Thursday morning.
Yep.
And do you want to go through some of your highlights or the games
All right, so I did a semi-detailed breakdown in our all the small games Discord. Mm-hmm. So I'm just pulled that up to take a look. Things that really grabbed me. I mean, Ollie Ollie World looks super fun. Like, I like the Ollie Ollie games. I'm not good at them because of, you know, the gameplay mechanic of having to press B to land. But Ollie Ollie World looks like an interesting kind of evolution of the game itself. The art has kind of taken a bit of a level up.
Mm-hmm.
It looks to be, there's like a bit more of a story around it, it looks like. So definitely looking forward to having a bit of a skate in that. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game, you know, post Scott Pilgrim versus the World, I think my taste for brawlers has returned a bit.
So for the last 10 years.
Yeah, it was also wild to find out that the like one of the developers is called Dotemu.
Yeah, I've been saying Dotemu.
Yeah, I've been saying Dotemu the entire time. Look at the egg on.
We come from the land of the emus, though. So
true.
I understand.
And dots.
But yeah, it's obviously it stands for dot emulation.
Yes.
So
dot but pronounced
yeah.
pronounced weird. What else was on there?
Do you want me to go through the shadow drops? Because the thing I look forward to the most.
Of course,
there
was one more big title though that I want to shout out. At the end, you know, they always get to the end and they're like, "But wait a minute, there's one more game to showcase." This time it was Oxenfree 2.
Mm-hmm.
And my little brain just exploded. I was like, oh my god, I love the original Oxenfree so much. So to know that we're like going back to that world, getting back into that story again, I was just so excited about it.
Yeah, so it's called Oxenfree
Lost
2
Signals?
Lost Signals. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe I should actually play the first one. It's like 5 hours long, right?
Oh yeah, about 5 to 6.
Okay, I can do that.
Considering my win rate for the Games of the Month voting, I should probably just make it Game of the Month next month and go 3 for 3.
I mean, I did purposefully
suggest
a game that I didn't want to win so we could do Stanley Parable.
That's true.
And Cave Story only won because no one wanted to give the current publisher of Cave Story any money by buying it to play it.
Yeah.
Even though you can play it free without giving... the publisher any money.
True.
But yeah, so the games that Shadow dropped, which I'm very excited about, two of them are, well, actually all three of them are all games that have been previously available on PC. Two of them for like a year, one of them for many, many years, and that is Fez, a game which I have started on my Mac many years ago but never finished. And so I am like slightly interested. Maybe when they eventually do like a half price sale, I might pick it up and play through that. You know, it's kind of revered as one of the classic indie games, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Very cute, colorful puzzle platformer.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were also two other games that were shadow dropped. One of them is called The Longing, which has been made by Studio Soofs. And it's a game in which you play... So I've got it. I've picked this one up already. The hook of this is that the game is set over 400 days in like say 400 real time days. That's how long it takes for you to basically get the ending of this game. Because in it, a king with his last breath tells you this like very cute little like black and yellow character, but bright yellow eyes. You're known as a shade, so you're kind of like this little guy that lives in the shadows and does your king's biddings. He's like, don't leave the caves. I must sleep. I will be awake in 400 days. And you can, I can effectively, having gotten the game already, I can just turn off the game and then turn it back on in 400 days and the king will wake up and I'll technically have finished the game. But you, as a shade, you have like this like cute little room that has very, very little, very few things in it. You have like a kind of barren bookshelf with a couple books on it and they're all like, what's it called again when books are just like anyone can put them anywhere when they're not like Disney doesn't own it, for example. It's like,
like copyright free, like public domain.
Public domain. Thank you. There you go. There's a few public domain novels on your shelf, Moby Dick for one, and you can just pick up a book and start reading it. And so, like, if you want to read Moby Dick on your Switch, you can now. Finally,
all right,
Moby Dickheads, your time has come. But you've also got like a little fireplace in there, but you don't have any of the resources you need to start a fire. You have like an easel and like painting like stuff, but you need to get like the paints and also you need to like look at things to be inspired to paint them. So I guess the gameplay is you slowly, because the guy moves very slowly, exploring the caves, finding little objects and things you can do to like make your life of waiting better. And then solving puzzles so you can access new parts of the caves. I sat down and I started reading a book. And as I was reading it, I noticed time moves faster when you're reading a new book for the first time. So I think the more you improve the shade's life, the quicker the waiting period for your king to wake back up will be. So I don't think this game technically takes 400 days. It just does if you do nothing.
So does the increased rate of time passing stick around even when you're not reading? Like, if you've read for a bit, does it?
No. It's so as soon as I stopped, finished one of the other books that was like 100 pages long, you can read along with the shade, or you can just leave him to read in real time on his own.
Okay.
So the time was moving quicker as I was turning pages, and then as soon as I stopped, it just resumed real time.
Interesting.
Yeah, very cool, very unique. The art style is gorgeous. Have you seen much of it? Yeah, I just
the trailer.
The character design and set design, like, they're so good. I love it. Great colors, just an interesting hook as well. So this is definitely a game that inevitably at some point I will finish, but I'd like to think that I will finish it sooner than 400 days from now. Speaking of like weird concepts for a game, a game that you put in your top 10 games of last year, you played it on PC, it's called There Is No Game, Wrong Yes. Dimension, a game done by Draw Me a Pixel.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a really meta kind of, I can't remember how you described it, but I remember you loved it. It was like number 8 or 9 in your top 10 last year.
Yeah, it's, you sort of like, speaking of narrators again, you start this game and there is a narrator telling you that there is no game here, what are you trying to do, there's nothing to play, go away, and like encouraging you to quit out of the game and go about your business. So the puzzles you solve are all around like trying to get around the game from stopping you playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all done, I mean, it develops much greater complexity like beyond that. It sort of journeys through a couple of different gaming styles. There's like an RPG style in there, point and click adventure, all these other things. I thoroughly enjoyed my time with it. I thought it was very funny, very well done, and was glad to see it in the indie showcase. Have you had a try at it?
No, I haven't. I got it, picked it up. So nice. I'm looking forward to going in because I remember how much you loved it. And it seems like my kind of fun humor as well.
I'm very interested to see what you think of it.
Okay, awesome. There were a few other games that I thought were exciting. Like, there was nothing really on there that I was like, this does nothing for me. Oh, no, maybe there were. There were a few story-based games, like Road 96. Looked kind of interesting. And both of the games that Annapurna showed off. Hindsight, I thought looked cute, but they don't really look like games. They're just more like storytelling through game.
I was cold on the Annapurna ones a little bit as well. The Last Stop looks very narrative heavy. It's the one where it's like revolves around three people's different narratives, and like I think two of them have switched bodies or something like that.
Yep.
So vaguely interested by that, but hindsight, I was just a bit like, what is this game? I can zoom in and out of things.
I like the art style of it more than the other one. Yeah. So that's why I'm interested. I mean, Annapurna games are at least worth looking more into than a 30-second trailer, if that, each game got. It was very, very short.
I like the look of Road 96.
Okay, cool. Yeah, there were some cool mechanics in there for sure. I'm looking forward to Skull, the Hero Slayer, which is, I'm kind of a bit like disappointed to find out that it's a roguelike, because this being like a, you know, slightly reminiscent of Hollow Knight style Metroidvania was much more appealing to me as I first saw the trailer. But I think as a roguelike, it'll be really fun as well. You play this dude. Like you're like a skeleton who has like a bone that you hit monsters with. Very fun.
But you can also you get different abilities by switching the skull that's on your body.
That's right, and there's lots of different skulls you can get too.
It's like 40 or something.
Yep. Very cool to see Konami publishing an indie game, a sequel to one of their very early games, Getsu Fumiden, Undying Moon. That looks really great fun. Apparently that's a roguelite too, though. Hack and slash with like gorgeous kind of throwback Japanese painted visual inspiration. That looks really fun. And there was a few like little snippets of games like Labyrinth City, the I think it's called Pierre the Maze Detective. That was in the montage of games towards the end. That looks really fun.
Yeah, definitely. I sort of looking at it, I was like, this feels a little mobile gamey, but
No, because I know there are like find in the picture kind of games.
Yeah,
you know, there's that black and white one called like Little Guys or something like that. Little Fellas, I don't know what it is.
Hidden, there's Hidden Through History or something along those lines. Hidden Through the Ages.
This is like a Where's Wally game that you can navigate through as a character.
Yeah.
So that looks cool. That's a cool idea for a game. But yeah, all in all, I'm excited about at least half of the games that were in the showcase. I recommend watching it if you are someone that likes knowing what's on the horizon. I mean, obviously you are. You listen to this show. So why not watch another one too? Definitely recommend checking out the Japanese indie world direct as well. It was different. It had different games in it. Some of them are games that have been out for a while, like Nuts and Cake Bash. But there were a bunch of Japanese games in there as well. That everyone should check out because they looked very, very cool. I have no idea what they're called because it's just the Japanese characters as their name now, but we'll find out at some point. Shady Part of Me, I think, was one of them. That looks really cool. Look up Shady Part of Me or just watch the video. So those are games we're looking forward to in the near future, all featured in the Indie World presentations. John, you didn't get to talk about any games last week, so why don't you tell me what games you've been playing since we last spoke.
Glad you asked, Levins. Mm-hmm. So over the last couple of weeks, it was nice having a week off because I got to like stretch my legs, play some other games that aren't necessarily small games, but I've been interested in playing for a while.
Yeah, every time we record, I make John get into a crate and squish his legs up to his chin.
But then at the same time have like enough time to play some great indie games as well. First one I played is a new one. It just came out a couple of weeks ago by a developer called Studio Fizbin. They're a German developer, and they've had a couple of games out. They did I think it's a point and click adventure series called The Inner World. Mm-hmm. But they also have another game coming out later this year called Minute of Islands that I'm really excited for. But the game that I played was called Say No More. So it's Say No with an exclamation point and then more.
Everyone pause the podcast, go and watch the trailer for this straight away because it is a great trailer that like started out and I was like, this isn't funny. And then it got funny almost immediately. And I think it's a wonderful trailer. And Well, having not even heard your review of it, you may change my opinion, but I really want to play this game.
Yeah, get ready for a review that will definitely make you want to play this game in that case, because I've had my eye on this one for a while. I think it showed up in one of the conferences, maybe an E3 last year or something. Definitely got on my radar. It's got very, like, very bright, colorful graphics to it. the sort of, I mean, that obviously grabbed my attention to begin with, but then when I saw what the actual concept of the game was, I was like, yep, I'm sold on this. So the whole thing of Say No More is you are an intern who has just joined a big company. And it's set in a world, I think, where the word no has been banned. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got to say yes to everything, which means on your first day as an intern, you just get steamrolled by your manager or the supervisor of the interns, who steals the lunchbox that your deadbeat roommate packed for you on your first day of work. This is obviously upsetting. And while sitting at your desk, a Walkman falls out of a vent above your desk. You put it on and listen to it, and it's a self-help tape of this really, like, muscly, tough dude telling you about the benefits of saying no and actually teaching you to say the word no, because up until then, all you can do is kind of mumble whenever you try to talk.
Right.
So armed with your first type of no, which is a heated no, you head out on a quest to get your lunchbox back. So the whole game takes place on rails. You don't actually control where your character goes. They just move forward, chasing the supervisor. But people will get in your way, and they'll have demands a lot of the time. So they'll be like, hey, I need you to make coffee for me. Which you then, all you need to do is press one button to say no. The thing is, it sounds fairly simple, but the beauty of it is, when you say no, you, like, blow these people backwards. Like, it's almost like, you know, a projection of force that will, like, the person gets flung backwards, office equipment goes scattering everywhere, they go like, oh my god, as they fly away. It is the sort of visceral pleasure you take in telling people no throughout this game is so much fun. Every time you hit that no button, just the effect that it has brings a little bit of joy into playing the game. So as you go along, you know, you chase your supervisor, you finally stop them in their tracks by yet saying no at them a number of times, mm-hmm. only for, once you've defeated them, the next manager up the chain to swoop in and take away your lunchbox, because they're like, oh, I like this, I'll take it, and off they go, and your chase continues. Throughout this, you learn a variety of different no's from the self-help tape. So there's the heated no, which you get to begin with, which is like a very angry no. There is the cold no, which is like you turn your head away and just go, no. There is the lazy no, which is just, nah. And then there's like the wacky no, which is, no. You also pick up some secondary abilities, which is like, you can really make your no devastating by doing one of these before saying no. And it's like, you can nod at the person to like lull them into a false sense of security. You can slow clap for them. Like, there are all these different things you can do. In the end of the day, there's no real, like, it's not like there are some people in the office that are like, this type of no affects them more than another type of no. It really just is, maybe you want to use this type of no to say no this time. So there's not, like, the gameplay is not incredibly complex, is what I'm trying to say. You could go through the whole game using the same no, and it would work perfectly fine. While it starts off as just a simple chase to get your lunchbox back, it develops into this big story about, like, the CEO forcing everybody in the company to say yes, because that's what she did when she was an intern, and thus everyone has to go through the same painful experience as her. But you sort of rally all the rest of the office workers to join you in learning how to say no. And at the end of the game, there's this really good message about how no is a very important word to have in a work environment. Like, you know, they're not saying say no all the time. They're not saying never say yes again. But understand that saying no is almost a form of self-care, because it allows you to kind of discern what you do with your time and what's good for you and like that sort of thing. So as I got to the end of the game, particularly as someone who works in an office, particularly someone who is constantly bombarded by requests that I'm like, fuck, I really wish I wasn't doing that. I was like, the message really resonated with me at the end, especially when it is delivered with this like very wacky sense of humor throughout. It's got great voice acting to it. I mean, there's a few different voices for each of the office workers. But like I said, just the reactions they have when you blow them away with a no and the kind of requests they have. There's this funny subplot where, like, generally people come up and they have a request, but they're throughout the game, people will come up and be like, staring contest! And then you just have to not press a button for however long it takes to do the staring contest.
Or could you just yell no at them?
You can and keep moving, but you kind of miss out on the wider plot that the staring contest brings about.
Great.
I had a great time with this game. I really enjoyed it. It can be finished in like 3 hours, to be honest. But
you've
it's
got,
so
like, glorious, like chunky 3D visuals that look kind of similar
really,
to like a PS1 really, or Nintendo 64 era 3D platformer.
Polygonal character models.
Yeah, I saw people comparing it to Mega Man Legends, which is, I'm sure, is exciting for some people.
Sure. But yeah, like, every game you mention that I enjoy, I always just say, I really want to see what you think when you play this, Levins. Which I guess is, like, that's the driving force behind this podcast. but yeah, I think you'd have a blast with this. I think you'd really, really enjoy it.
I noticed, though, when you talk about games of Disco Elysium, you don't say, I really can't wait to find out what you think of this.
I know that Say No More is a game, I think, where our tastes would kind of align on this, whereas I think Disco Elysium, I genuinely would love to think what your thoughts are of Disco Elysium. I just know the chance of you playing Disco Elysium is slim.
Our government's not making it any easier, John. That'd be so funny if the government, Australian government, outlawed Say No More.
Or you could only play Disco Elysium once you had your vaccine for COVID. So no one's going to get to play that for a long time.
So that's Say No More. Yes. Is it out on everything or just Switch?
It's out on Switch, definitely. That's what I played it. And shout out to the devs for sending through a code for me. Switch, Microsoft, macOS, and I know it's on phone as well. So definitely Apple iOS it's on. It's in the regular App Store as opposed to arcade. It's one of those ones where I'm like, why wasn't this an arcade game? This
yeah,
is an example.
Yeah, perfect. A perfect arcade game.
Yeah, because it's literally like one button. There might, you know, and everything else can be handled by just swiping on the screen, essentially. So I would say if you, you know, play on phone if you get the opportunity. I don't think it would harm the experience any.
So yeah, it's on iOS, Switch, and Steam.
Yes, but yeah. I would throw a recommend on this for people. If you're listening to this podcast, pick it up, give it a go.
Excellent.
Don't say no to this.
No.
Say yes to Say No More.
So John has another game that he's going to be talking about in a moment, but I'm going to interject with my game.
Hear me.
Because I've been playing a game called Kaze. I don't know. I think it's Kaze. Or you said K's, but
sure.
I think it's Kaze. So it's Kaze is the name of the main character, and Kaze is a rabbit. This is a game, yeah. Kaze and the Wild Masks is a platformer that is very, very inspired by Donkey Kong Country. Not so much Donkey Kong Country Returns and Tropical Freeze, but the SNES games. In everything but graphics, the graphics are like the kind of up-res 16-bit. As opposed to like the fake polygonal 3D graphics that we had on the Super Nintendo. This is a game that looks like a Shantae game, like, you know, those kind of very colorful, beautiful pixel art, iconoclasts, that kind of game. But the gameplay is like, you know, just very, very tight platformer. You will notice that Kaze has a four-letter name. And just like Donkey Kong had to collect K, O, N, and G in every level of Donkey Kong Country, you have to collect K, A, Z, and E in every level of this game. So you start out, you and like your friend or sister or someone, another rabbit, you're exploring, you find this like magical thing, and then the magical thing leads to your friend's body being stolen by like some weird creature, and her spirit now follows you as like someone that, like, basically she allows you to take a hit, a second hit, so you can get hit by enemies twice in a game when she's around.
Right.
She's like a red little red spirit that follows you around. You have nice long ears that lend themselves to turning into a helicopter, allowing you to hover over short distances. And you can also do a spin with them that makes you take out enemies that are approaching you. If you remember Donkey Kong Country, like, some enemies would have like teeth jutting out the front of them, so you couldn't roll into them, but you could jump on their head. Or some enemies will have spikes on their head, so you can't jump on them. That fun, that kind of stuff. It's very quick platforming. It's very precise, and man, the mechanics of this game are spot on. The first level is very simple, and I was like, "Oh, this is good." Like, you know, the mechanics are good, but the world's like a bit flat, and nothing too exciting happens in that first level. And within two levels, I was being introduced to like new fun mechanics, and like the wild masks in the title refer to a bunch of masks that you find in the world that allow you to turn into other animals, in the same way that like Donkey Kong would find a rhinoceros in a box, and then you have the rest of the level riding on rhino back. Kaze will find a bird mask, which allows her to like flap and fly up and shoot out an attack. And then later on in one of the water levels, like, basically you play a water level as just regular Okaze, and you're like, man, the swimming mechanics are fucking awful. And 10 seconds after you think that, you unlock the shark mask, which makes swimming so much fun. And he has like an awesome, like, as when you're a shark, you can bash into enemies. So at the end of each level, you, like, obviously you can just like plow through the levels, but that's not the point of these games, John. The point of these games is to be the disgusting 100% completionist that you are.
And here we go.
Because at the end of every level, if you get a gem, if you get K, A, Z, and E, you get, there's bonus stages that you have to find. There's two in every level, and that will take you to a bonus stage where you've got to like collect gems or kill a certain amount of enemies in a short amount of time, and then that gives you, if you get both of those, you get a green gem at the end of each level. And if you get, so I've finished the first six levels, 100% of them, and then that has unlocked a bonus level for the first world or whatever. And it is, do you remember in like the Donkey Kong Country and Tropical Freeze, like if you got all the puzzle pieces, it unlocked a bonus level? Or maybe it was like, maybe, sure, it was, maybe if you got all the letters, whatever. But the bonus levels were so hard, and so were these. The first level you unlock is a level where you jump onto the first platform, and suddenly all the platforms disappear, and you have to do the entire level without knowing where the platforms are. There's a few like environmental things that show, that give you hints, but like I haven't been able to finish it yet. I just died that many times. So you've got to get the green gems from the bonus stages, the yellow gems from getting all the letters, and then the final gem is one from collecting like little pink crystals throughout each level, and that you've got to get 100 of them. So there's like elements of like Donkey Kong Country and elements of like the Rayman Origins games. It's kind of cool to play a platformer that is inspired by those games, as opposed to like Mario or other, you know, like, I feel like so many platformers I play are directly inspired by that. This feels like decidedly inspired by the other ones. And it has a lot of charm. All the enemies so far are like evil vegetables.
And
really throws some really fun mechanics. You die a lot in like, you know, now that I'm up to like around level 10 or so, I'm dying a lot more than I was in the first few levels, as to be expected. But there's no life counter. There's one checkpoint per level, but once you memorize all the parts you've got to do, it doesn't feel too punishing to be sent back to the checkpoints. So far, anyway. There is no devastating jingle. Do you remember when you die in Donkey Kong Returns?
Sure.
Yeah, I remember like being banned from playing that game when Bianca was around, because she would just hear that every 10 seconds in some of the later levels. It's such an obnoxious jingle.
Well, you come here and finish the level, yeah, Bianca. Exactly.
It doesn't have a jingle. It's just like, you know, you die and you immediately get put back to the start of your checkpoint. Okay,
that's good.
I really like this game. I think a lot of people were kind of dubious about it because it is like a fairly unknown developer. So it was developed by Soadesco and Pixel Hive and published by Soadesco. And I don't really know anything that Pixel Hive have done before this. In fact, Pixel Hive is also a photography app, so I don't think it's the same people. Soadesco have published a game called Truck Driver. John, ring any bells?
Love it. I'm downloading now.
Farm, Hammer Helm, lots and lots of games I have not played or even heard. Oh, Tesla Grad. There you go. I've played that game. And Tuki Tori.
Okay.
Too.
Yep.
Tricky Towers, Ether. Okay, they've done a lot that I know of. But yeah, sweet. Highly recommend. If anyone like me is a big platforming nut, I think you will nut while playing this platformer.
Oh, high praise indeed.
Over that sexy bunny, am I right, fellas?
Oh God. I was going to say, does it hit different? Does it hit different because you have Cookie Star?
I mean,
every time you finish a level, you're like, "That's one's for you, Cookie."
While I was playing it, he did jump up on the couch and then start biting my pocket. So
right,
it does. It definitely hits different. You're right.
Right.
He wasn't really a good luck charm.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's Kaze and the Wild Masks.
More a hindrance.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's cute, but you don't want to just like slap him away. Like,
sure, of course not. Yeah.
He also actually, while I was playing as well, he discovered that he can reach the pot plant that's on my TV cabinet, and I had to pause the game because he can reach it. And rabbits shouldn't eat house plants; they're very, very poisonous. He can reach it, but he can't actually get up there. And he tried to get up there, and he stacked it so hard; it was so funny. So I had to pause it to move the pot plant, so he stopped trying to get up there. It's been there for months, though, and he's never tried to get it before. Today, he was like, he must have seen Kaze jumping around and gotten inspired.
He's like, I know there's an invisible platform around here somewhere.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Very cool game, John.
Sweet.
Tell me you got another cool game for me.
I do. So this week I saw that the sequel to a game that I've played in the past called The Dark Side Detective. They dropped the second one this week, The Dark Side Detective, A Fumble in the Dark. And so I went in, grabbed it on Switch. Because it's kind of just... It's exactly what I wanted to play at the moment. So it's like... Dark Side Detective is a episodic point-and-click adventure game where you play the eponymous Dark Side Detective, Francis McQueen, I think his name is. He is a detective that looks specifically into paranormal events. So, you know, ghosts, ghoulies, demonic possession, all that kind of stuff. In Fumble in the Dark, there are, I think, 6 cases for you to play through, and the promise of more on the way, so they'll definitely update it at some point with some more cases to play. It was great. It was like slipping back into, it's very, very similar to the first game. It's like small amount of locations, small, like, the way I think of it is like Gato Roboto is to Hollow Knight as
A 5-minute Metroidvania. Sorry, a 5-hour Metroidvania. Or 3-hour Metroidvania.
Yeah.
This is what a 3-hour...
The Dark Side Detective is to, like, a much bigger point and click. It's got a fantastic retro style to it, that really, really chunky pixel kind of style. Good sense of humor about it as well. It's very simplified UI. Like, it doesn't have your classic sort of, you know, open, close, push, pull, give, take, etc. interface. You just interface directly with the items. If you can pick it up, he'll pick it up. If you can use it with someone, it'll use it with someone. That kind of thing. It's very heavily, like, it is very much a continuation of the first one. The first case is actually, like, the second half of a story that was started in the first game, where you're trying to find your partner, Officer Dooley, who got stuck in the dark side in the last game. And all throughout the cases, there are, like, flashbacks to previous things that happened in the first game. So that, I feel, I kind of, even though I played the first game, it was quite a while ago, so I was sort of like, oh man, okay, I should go back and play it again to pick up where I was last time. But obviously, that is kind of, that's a back burner move that can happen if I absolutely run out of any games. But I picked up the BioShock collection on Switch recently, because it was on sale and it was cheap as chips, and I've been wanting to replay them. And that is just, like, I'd forgotten that the first two are basically horror games. So I've been sort of gritting my teeth and playing through those. And this kind of coming out, I was like, perfect, nice little holiday playing, like, this gently humorous, very retro point-and-click, you know, adventure. The puzzles are not terribly hard, a little bit of logic and a little bit of looking around. But at the same time, because it's not huge levels or anything like that, you can slightly brute force it, and it does have that quality of life that a lot of sort of newer point and clicks have, where if you press the left button on the D-pad, it'll show you everything on the screen that can be interacted with. So you're not just clicking around randomly trying to find what to do. You can actually go like, oh cool, I can interact with that. Let's do that. If you like point-and-click adventures, and I understand that that is a shrinking audience in this day and age, it's, you know, it's old heads like me keeping the dream alive. But if you like a point-and-click adventure, I definitely recommend checking out The Dark Side Detective. It's a good little playthrough.
Yeah, unreal. Glad it was as good as the first one.
Yeah,
I think that
developed by
people love like, you know, replayability. And I think this is maybe the rarest game that inspires replay, rarest type of game that people want to replay, right?
What, point-and-click adventures?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I guess it's like watching a movie again, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
Except to move the movie along, you need to solve a puzzle.
Yep.
But it's out on Switch, Windows, I guess Steam. Switch and Steam. Developed by a group called Spooky Doorway, who I think formed just to make the Dark Side Detective games, but published by Akupara Games, who you might know better as the publishers of Desert Child, an Australian-developed game that we're both big fans of. They also published Mutazione, which was one of the launch games for Apple Arcade, and among many other games, a game called Spinch. Did you ever see Spinch?
Oh, yeah. I played and reviewed that for the show. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, like colorful psychedelic platforming game. Mm. So some good pedigree there.
Unreal. I have first some incredible news and then some emails for us to go through. What do you want to do first?
Sure. I mean, look, you didn't call them incredible emails. So let's start with the incredible news.
Are you ready for the best news of the week?
Sure.
John Valenzuela, this is our 69th episode.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to do, you stay where you are. I'm going to do this rest of this episode upside down.
Right.
And now we go to our emails. If you want to email us, you can email us at allthesmallgames@gmail.com, just like Dylan has. Dylan says, hi, Levins and Valenzuela. I love that you, for the first time in your life, are having people call you Valenzuela, just because I go by my last name.
Yeah.
Did that happen in school?
No, never. Yeah. Few people, like, pronouncing it was already hard enough. Thank you for taking the time, Dylan.
I'd prefer it if people started calling John Johnny V.
Oh God,
your greaser name.
Son of a bitch.
Dylan says, first off, happy birthday, Levins. Secondly, play Viva Pinata. Honestly, I think Archie would like it. I adored Viva Pinata as a kid, and the colors, themes for the animals, they all have food or candy themed names. A deer is a donut. There are pro fight moles. You get the idea. Okay, there you go. The subject was Viva Pinata, because we talked about it 2 weeks
ago. Right.
As a game that neither of us know anything about. Maybe I will, Dylan. I do need a new game to play with Archie and Tilly before we go to school every morning. So I was thinking about Say No More, but maybe after I've played that, we'll go to Viva Pinata. The final email comes from Abhishek, and his name... Okay, I haven't read this one before, and I'm already laughing at the beginning of it. So the subject is called Gaming on Vacation. Hey, boys... I sent this email to those fuckheads at Filthy Casuals over 2 years ago and never got a response or shout out. Let's see if you're better. See below. So thank you, Abhishek, for sending us your sloppy seconds.
Yeah.
He says, I recently went on holiday to Cancun with my girlfriend and brought my Switch along to play on the plane, as well as while in Mexico. Okay, first of all, dude, you got to at least amend it. It wasn't recently. We're talking 3 years ago at this point. Sure. Long story short, playing while traveling is always fun and a great way to kill time. However, I felt a bit silly while laying out on the beach next to thousands of people suntanning, drinking a pina colada while trying to get Madeline up Celeste Mountain. The sun was shining bright, so my screen brightness was jacked all the way up. Not great on the battery. The glare was pretty brutal as well. There is sand and water everywhere on the beach, so I'm always a bit nervous while having it out. Whenever I stash my device in my bag to take a dip in the water, my eyes are always anxiously locked onto the bag so no sneaky characters walks off with my $300 console. Basically, it isn't very feasible. I'm obviously there to spend time with my loved ones, not play games, but I couldn't help but feel that my time was better spent crushing Celeste than getting my tan on. Growing up, my parents would have for sure not let me bring a console down to the beach. Maybe a Game Boy would have come along for the journey, but it would be put away for the duration of the vacation. Now, as a grown man who can make poor decisions all by myself, I have the freedom to play proper console games everywhere I am due to the convenience of the Switch, but I find myself wondering if this is the best use of time on holiday. Thoughts? Chic.
Start with your thoughts, Levins. I'm digesting this one.
Okay. He did personalize it. Sorry. He goes, thoughts? Sorry for the lengthy email. Keep, in brackets, small gaming. I doubt he would have said that to the Filthy Casuals. He probably just took the word filthy out of it.
Yeah, I was thinking... Keep filthy gaming. Yeah.
I think bringing a Switch to the beach anywhere where there's sand is just like... You should be arrested, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think on holidays, though...
I mean, hotel pool.
Even then, I don't know. I bring books. So, like, even though I do most of my reading on the iPad, I'll have a few volumes of manga that I have, like, you know, on my shelf waiting to be taken to the beach or holiday or pool, and that's when they come out. I like reading by the pool, but maybe I'd play an Apple Arcade game by the pool or at the beach. I certainly have in the past, but an actual console that can be, like, ruined forever if one single grain of sand gets behind the joystick, yeah, that ain't happening, Chief.
Yeah, I'm with that. I'm definitely a book at the beach kind of person because I know that you can drop a book in sand and it's not like the letters will disappear. You can still read that bad boy afterwards.
I mean, you can drop a book in the water and, you know, given time and patience, you can get that book back to at least 60% of what it once was.
Definitely. I think it's very heavily based on, like, obviously a beach holiday is terrible for that kind of gaming. I think if you were doing, like, if you were holidaying maybe in the like a country kind of setting, like if I was up in the Hunter Valley, like wine country, you better believe I'd be playing some Switch Among Them Grapes. But beach is a wild, risky move.
I bring my, like, I had like a staycation last week and I brought my Switch, but I didn't get it out once. And I've gone, taken my Switch overseas on most family holidays, but haven't played it a single moment. But it's always there just in case.
Of course.
But the stars will never align, especially when you're a dad with children, obviously. Being away with them, like the likelihood of you actually being able to play a game while on holiday is extremely slim. Even though that's my ideal holiday activity.
Yeah, definitely.
But hey, if you need a game, bring a card game. That's a good beach activity. Yeah. Or Apple Arcade game.
Yeah, if you absolutely have to, those are good recommendations, I reckon, because neither will be terribly affected by sand.
But bro, you're surrounded by sand. You could build your own Celeste Mountain and then rescue a crustacean or steal a crustacean from the water and have him become your Madeline.
Or your battle line.
Oh, true.
Running after you, snapping away with them claws.
Hey, thanks so much, everyone, for listening to this episode of All the Small Games. We record an episode every single week, and we love it when you listen to them. Plus, also love it when you get in touch with the show, just like those guys did. And you can email us at allthesmallgames@gmail.com. If you would like to get more of us, and you absolutely can and should, you can head to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/allthesmallgames. As we mentioned earlier, we'll be doing an extra episode very soon, all about the Stanley Parable, and there's already an over 1 hour long episode going through the history of the game Bastion, made by Supergiant Games, and our thoughts on every little piece of that game. We'll be playing the Stanley Parable together over the next few weeks, and when I say together, I mean John and myself with our very, very cool Discord community. If you would like to join, again, join that Patreon at patreon.com/allthesmallgames to have a community of people who love discussing indie games 24/7. If you need some recommendations for any console, that's the first place you should turn. John, if you want to find John Levins online, you can. It's on Twitter, isn't it, John?
Yes, Twitter and Instagram at 16tacos, 16tacos. What about you, Levins? Where can they find you in these places?
On all platforms, I'm at LevDog. Including platforms that I had on my phone for less than a week and then decided I'm too old for this, like Clubhouse and TikTok.
Jesus.
I've got to park that domain, bro.
Oh, of course, yeah. Can't have imposters coming up. But just for clarity's sake, that's LevDawg.
Thank you so much. And of course, the show can be found on Twitter and Facebook. At All the Small Game on Twitter and facebook.com/allthesmallgames on Facebook. Come and find us. Come and talk to us. Come and support us if you are able to. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next week. John, do you know what you'll be playing?
I think I'm going to dip my toe into Rain on My Parade.
Yes, a new game where you play as a cloud and ruin everyone's days, a la Untitled Goose Game. That's on Switch, and it's on Game Pass, actually, as well.
That is where I will be enjoying it. And that one I definitely have. And I don't know, I'll cast my eye around and see if there's anything else that catches my fancy. I could also wind up playing Hey, My Child's Being Born.
Oh, shit, yeah. I mean, you're due, like, this week, right?
This Friday.
Terrifying.
This Friday is due date, so it could be any time before or after that. But I'm telling Joe to my wife to, like, don't do anything that might trigger it, because we still have some things we need to take care of.
My kids were 3 and 4 weeks premature. So
holy crap.
Yeah, when Tilly was born, I was recording a promo video for Sydney Bars in which I had to go to 6 different venues and film myself doing multiple takes, drinking cocktails and glasses of wine. And when I got a text that, hey, I think I'm going into labor, I was so hammered that the filming crew had to drive me home.
Oh, shit.
And thankfully, like, the early stages of labor, B was able to manage while I, like, slept myself into somewhat of sobriety. And Tilly was born within less than half an hour of us finally getting to the hospital.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, she was quick.
Damn. Well, I'll have one of my own stories like that soon.
Start drinking, John.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just got to land a gig talking about Sydney nightlife or something.
I'm looking forward to playing a game called Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion.
Ooh, me as well.
It's looks like a very fun and humorous and strange game. that I'm looking forward to getting into.
Definitely. Same here. Just the title alone.
Yeah, exactly right. Thanks so much for listening, everybody, and see you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.